that, and 3, 2, 1, a go.
Hi.
So you're probably all really pissed at us.
This is awkward.
We kind of just fell off of the face of the earth.
We didn't even call. We didn't even say goodbye. We didn't even leave a
say
note.
Goodbye. We just packed up our shit and left.
How long
was
it actually?
We ran out of money, so now we need to.
It's been a good 3 months, anyway.
Before PAX.
Doesn't feel like it.
But yeah, we apologize deeply to the fan base that we were just starting to get and has now probably moved on.
My defense is we became hipster. We got too popular and had to duck out.
We don't want to get too famous because then we'd actually have to do this for a living.
We don't want to be like Controller Throw. We're still indie, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Controller Throw left for a little while too, right?
You shut the fuck up, Caleb.
It left for like an episode. That doesn't count. That's like, yeah, I had a break.
That's like, oh, we're ending, and then we all got sad, and then they decided, oh, well, no, we're just gonna keep
that
doing
was
it.
Like
forget
that
everything
was
about.
Some bullshit marketing on their part, right?
Right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That, like, oh my god, they're fucking geniuses.
Everyone's like, no, and they're like, all right, we're really leaving.
We're genius-y-er, though, because we left for 3 whole months.
Yeah, we're geniusy. We're dumb because everybody forgot about us, and we're probably starting from square one.
Probably.
Detroit, I hope.
I told him. I told
Did
him.
Did like, was he excited? Did he get all giddy?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because it was text Xbox Live message, so I couldn't. But he said he was looking forward to it. He said, I believe the quote was, sorry, Margaret, if I get this wrong, I've really missed the podcast. You guys were kind of like my only friends.
Oh my god. Now I feel really, really bad.
Being like his only like friends he talks to.
And he doesn't even talk to us.
Oh man, I feel bad now.
We read a week, but anyway. So what happened, right? Well, Caleb got really busy making his own personal game, and
also I called him a racist a lot, and I'm sorry.
Plus, he called him a racist a lot. We're trying to move past that. And,
I still don't click links from Dan.
So, Caleb's just kind of in the finishing stages of that?
Finishing stages!
Right? Yeah, no, today was a great victory. Like, I would be really depressed right now if what happened 5 minutes ago didn't happen. But no, I'm ready to release pretty soon.
Right. So that on top of his actual job as a developer kind of left him with no time. I switched to a third shift job, so I was pretty much awake when everybody was sleeping. So that kind of left me out of the loop. Dan
was the poor little orphan.
I guess was just a little fucker and didn't want to do anything.
What the wait? Whoa!
Dan was left holding this little lollipop in the middle of a.
I mean, we tried. Me and you did try once.
Yeah, we tried it. You know what? It sucked.
It sucked. And then, like, I didn't even hear word one from you. And in fact, you blocked me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Until,
what was up
like
with
a
that?
Week ago.
So, no, you, okay, I blocked you on Twitter because I, on the day of Portal 2's release, I said I would block anybody who tweets any Portal 2 spoilers, and I did. I blocked quite a few people. You were being an asshole.
I was. You, I was being complete asshole.
But
was
none,
like
of, none of his stuff
morning,
was true, though.
And I was Snape killed Shell's father or something like that.
Yeah.
Soil
you blocked him for that?
Yeah, well, no, it was only supposed to be temporary, though. It was only supposed to be like a day or two, and then I just forgot. Yeah.
You missed all of Eric's epic tweets.
Like what?
Third shift fucking blows.
There we go.
So I decided to get the band back together. Basically.
You decided.
Well, he did send out the
wave.
I thought it was a mutual thing.
And everybody came back. I figured since we still probably don't have all the time in the world, that we'd kind of change up the format a bit. So instead of doing our normal ranty goodness on top of like a million games that we've been playing, we're just going to kind of cut it back to one game that we've all played, which this week will be Portal 2. We'll get all spoilerific and talk about how much we loved it, what we hated about it, and, you know, just whatever we decide to ramble on about. And I've also decided that it would be a good idea to cut the news section, because it got kind of flat after a while, especially when there were, like, weeks when there wasn't any news. Now, obviously, this weekend is E3. We're definitely going to cover E3, GDC, PAX. You know, if stuff comes out to talk about, like, I don't know, the PlayStation Network being down for over a month, might talk about it. Might not. We don't know. But, you know, if there's, like, literally nothing up and it's like, so there's this fan art of Mickey Mouse posted on Kotaku. What do you guys think about
that? I've been doing a lot of that, too.
You know, it's like, we're not going to talk about that.
That's an exact Kotaku post.
Yeah, that and, like, the Link and Ganon. Like, every week there's
like
a new
fan
one.
Fan art and just, like, every week a Freddie Wong video gets posted, even though it has nothing to do with video games.
I'm not going to lie, I stopped going to Kotaku when they did the redesign. I've been doing either Joystick or just people through Twitter and Reddit.
I need to, like, switch my reader as well.
They're still in my reader, so whatever.
Yeah, but... Okay, so yeah, we're just going to kind of wing it for here. We're also going to be cutting back on doing a show every week to once or twice a month. I don't know if people particularly care to hear us rant every week, but...
Probably
like
twice
I said,
this month with E3.
We're getting to points in our lives where we don't have as much time to sit and bullshit for 2 hours a day and edit something together and throw it up. And so we're going to try this out, see how it works, because we miss y'all. People that don't ever talk to us.
Yeah.
Murgatroyd, basically. And
I don't care anymore.
Some other folks. But anyway, before we jump into Portal 2, quick... couple of sentences of, like, the game you've been playing lately.
The game?
Fuck? Yeah, just, like, couple sentences. Like, don't fucking rant on for a while. Just
I've been, I'll go. Because, like, I literally don't play games until this weekend. Like, yeah, I played Dissidia Duodecim here and there on my trip when I was gone. But literally, I sit and I code. But this weekend I made it a point to beat L.A. Noire, and I went from the second mission to the second to the last mission since last night. So I'm, like, going to beat that today.
Fucking
Because Infamous 2 comes out next week, and I played the demo for that, and yes.
Is L.A. Noire, like, a long game or no?
There's 21 cases.
Oh, that's it?
That's descriptive.
Yeah,
how
I've
long
been
is
playing it. I've been playing it for... 15 hours.
Hmm. I thought it was longer than that.
Cases can
like...
be anywhere from like 20 minutes to an hour.
Considering it's a very linear game, I mean...
Yeah, and I'm actually skipping all of the driving. Like, I'm having my partner drive to all the places, because I'm like, I don't care about driving around right now. I'm not doing any of the extra stuff at all.
There's no fun 15 hours driving. You can't hit anybody.
Yeah.
Boo on that. Dan?
Well... what the fuck? Hello? Oh, Jesus Christ. That's great.
What?
All right. No, I'll just have to fix something in the recording.
Great.
I don't know. Like, Audacity just decided to stop recording at, like 10 seconds ago. But, okay. It's all good. Let's see. I went on the Star Select Talk podcast, and...
Oh, you jumped ship.
Cheater.
Fuck you, I guessed it. Alex wanted me to do it, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll just fucking do it.
Whore.
I'm the whore. I'm the fucking whore. Yeah, okay.
We remain loyal.
You are the guy, the parents who left me on the doorstep of the orphanage.
That doesn't mean we're whores.
That's exactly how I envision it, too. That is exactly how I envision it. It's kind of sad.
But anyway, what have you been playing?
I was getting to that, and then this is why fucking podcast. It's dumb. I went on there and they spoiled Red Dead Redemption for me, which was great because the following week I decided to start playing Red Dead Redemption for the first time.
My friend has my Red Dead Redemption. He's one mission from the end. He won't beat it, and I need it back to play Undead Nightmare.
I've gotten through most of Mexico. It's gotten to a point where like I haven't played it for a little while, you know, like a couple weeks, just because I don't have the drive to even finish it. Yeah. Like
I think that's where I stopped playing it.
Yeah, I slowed down as soon as I crossed over into Mexico. So like I didn't even experience a slowdown of it until I started back up to beat the game. But it gets funner.
You know, the problem is, you thought the end of the game, or at least, you know, the high point of the game, was the storming Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Because it's a fantastic scene and a great mission. And then, all of a sudden, oh, okay, there's more crap to do. I mean...
Yeah, there's a lot more. That's like the halfway point.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe it's just I have different tastes, or I think the main thing is, just the Wild West as an environment... in comparison to something like Liberty City, it's harder to swallow just in terms of the distance between missions, especially to consider you have to find a fucking campsite and then you can fast travel.
I didn't fast travel much in Red Dead. I like the scenery.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I'm not saying it's not beautiful, but I'm saying that like with Liberty City, you know, you have it's more hustle and bustle. There's more activity going on. There's more things to do in between that promises more in the future, whereas with Red Dead there was sort of this build up and then it's like, oh, okay, we're back to sort of like the earlier missions, more similar crap like that. Yeah. The characters are cool. There were a couple missions in Mexico that I thought were interesting. It's just I don't have the drive to go on and finish it, and so I've gone back to Pokemon.
And, of course.
Yeah, and I'm seriously like I'm fucking trading. I am trying to get as many shinies as I can. I have two shinies right now, a shiny Palkia and a shiny Latios. So,
yeah. Remember where I was the last time we talked about Pokemon? I have not moved.
Yeah, I didn't get that far in it.
Well, anyway, I have been playing Terraria, which was like, you know, the big hit a couple of weeks ago when it came out, but I just got it now, like literally a couple of days ago. And it's freaking awesome. I didn't think it was going to be, because I mean, it's like 2D Minecraft is like what everybody's been saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know how well that's going to work out. But once you get into it, like it's much more than... 2D Minecraft. I mean, it's what I hope Minecraft with this adventure update that Notch is talking about.
Yeah.
I kind of hope that this is what it kind of builds up to, because like the crafting menu is just ridiculous. I mean, it's not as complex as Minecraft where you have to organize things on a table, but but like you have to collect materials and then you get items, and these items build up to like lightsabers and demon armor, and it's got a day and night cycle just like Minecraft, and at night like zombies and floating eyeballs and just some crazy shit comes out at you. There's all sorts of dungeons with like just gigantic like tunneling snakes going through the ground and gigantic like there's a giant eyeball that I think is called like the Eye of Cthulhu or something like that. And then there's supposed to be this whole building aspect, but the point of it is you build all these houses and people come and move into them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see the... See, that's why I didn't do much on it. I didn't see the point. I didn't play it for more than, like, 10 minutes, though. Yeah.
So, I mean, I haven't gotten around to the building things, but, I mean, just stuff like that that's supposed to be... That'll kind of keep the game engaging. Where Minecraft is still engaging, you know, if you want to build, like, this gigantic thing or just, you know, try and survive and find everything, it's still really cool. But this just kind of adds another layer to it.
I don't know if you saw Notch's Twitter, but he's also been really, really enjoying Terraria.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually mentioned that, like, there are a few concepts that he wants to implement into Minecraft. Mm-hmm. So, it sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And him tweeting about it helped, like, skyrocket its sales.
Yeah. Anything that guy tweets, the server
also,
goes
I think
down.
It was on sale this week on Steam.
Yeah, it's only $10, I think.
I just freaking bought it.
I mean, it's only $10 anyways.
Well, I know yeah, it was $10, but, like, if it's cheaper and I just bought it a day ago.
Listen, you cheap bastard. Just
I am a cheap bastard.
I'm, yeah.
I have to check now. God damn it.
I gave in. Like, I've been struggling with what version of Infamous 2 to get.
Oh, no, it's not.
And I totally got the Hero Edition. The $100 version. Because I had,
news.
Like, 20...
Wait,
I had $25 on Amazon. I'm like, okay.
So you got a $100 special edition version of Infamous 2. What do you get with the $100 version?
You get the replica sling pack, full size. It can go right next to my Mirror's Edge pack. You
Dude,
get a,
if it's like that Mirror's Edge sling pack, then that's a pile of shit.
But the Mirror's Edge sling pack is fucking useful. You know, and it's cool.
It's useful, but it doesn't have a frame. Built like crap.
Yeah, but no, I got the sling pack. I'm not expecting much for this sling pack, but it also comes with a little statuette of Cole and like all the DLC that you can get from any place you pre-order it. So it's not like that stupid. You get one here, get one there.
Oh,
and I don't know what else, but the statue's cool.
I think the last time I blew $100 on a game, it was for an N64 game.
I don't know if I've ever
blown
$100 on a game.
I really like Infamous, so...
Well, I mean, I guess WoW kind of counts, but not really.
Oh, it comes with the soundtrack and the mini Infamous comic number 1. You know.
Well, way to go, Caleb.
Speaking of PlayStation games, PlayStation Network just went back up and they had their welcome back thing. Caleb,
I still need to get Dead Nation.
Is that what you're gonna get?
I'm gonna get Dead Nation and freaking Super Stardust because I still don't own that, and I own pretty much everything else on there. So yeah.
I got.
What?
Hmm? Anyway,
I've been wanting to get Dead Nation. I've been hearing some good things about it. So
I was gonna get it. I got my first. I'm probably because I did it right when it came out, which was a bad idea because the network's just clogged down with everybody doing it right now.
I'm surprised I got my Infamous 2 demo. Like, everyone else was reporting the issues and stuff. I got one, and then it worked fine for me. So
Portal.
Yeah, we're getting to it.
Yeah.
Shut up. No! No! Excuse me, mister! Let's say a few sentences.
You know what? Never gets boring doing that. I got Little Big Planet, and then I was going to go get my second one, and it just disappeared. Mm. I was going to get Dead Nation, but just disappeared.
It's going to be like that, is it?
You had to do it at least once.
Just like old times. But, yeah, so that's going on. Anyway, before Dan throws another hissy, let's start talking about Portal 2. Before we jump into it, instead of like saying, all right, let's skip to the end, I think we can all agree unspoilerifically that this game frickin' awesome.
Yes.
Right? Dan?
Oh, no, I'm not arguing that.
Exactly. Okay. So now, from basically here, probably to the end of the podcast, would be a dangerous territory to tread.
If you haven't beat it yet, yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't beat it yet, first of all, what the hell's wrong with you? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe it's expensive. Maybe people just don't have the money. I mean, watch, maybe Murgatroyd won't even be able to listen to this episode because he hasn't been portal to me yet.
But whatever. I've been seeing him play it through Xbox. I've been monitoring his progress. He's pretty far in.
I mean, I wasn't going to get Portal right away because, like, I didn't have the money. But then I'm like, well, it's going to get spoiled. It's one of those games where if you don't play it right away, it's going to get spoiled.
That was my thought, too, and I didn't have the money, so I went to Blockbuster. Laugh at me. I played through the whole thing. $8. I'm fine.
Oh, you did get it? They did have it, finally?
Couple days I had to go back every... Like, I checked when I drove home from school every day. Like, I would just stop in and see if they had a copy, and one day they did. And so I rented that, and I loved it.
Did you get to play the co-op?
Yes, I did. I was able. That's something else too. Is that I was struggling to find a co-op partner because that's something that we'll talk about when we reach the co-op section. Right. And so I ended up playing the co-op section through with different random matchups on Xbox.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
So it was a little difficult that way, but I mean, I experienced the whole thing.
Right. But first of all, let's talk about the single player, which was what, about, geez, must have been like 8 hours ish.
I'd say 8 to 12, somewhere in there,
depending on how fast you went through, which is pretty good size. I mean, I don't remember how long the first one was.
Like,
it's
an hour
size. There were people complaining for some reason on Twitter about it.
At the end I was like, all right, Let's get on with it, you know, because it's like, it's a really big build up to the end when you're like just getting through all these Wheatley stages and just like, all right, where's the last one? You know, it's like, the last one's coming up. Okay, here's fucking 10 more stages to get through.
Yeah, it was really interesting because, like, I didn't think they were going to, like, through the whole thing, guide you through the test chambers again. But pretty much that's what it all boiled down to, was test chamber after test chamber with lengthy, cool sections like the set pieces in the middle.
Well, could it have been anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also, you know, we say, yeah, it's just test chamber after test chamber, but the way they set it up is really, really something. I mean, you think... Yeah, like you think something, like you're just going to keep going and going, and then something will happen, and all of a sudden you're in an entirely new scenario. Mm. For example, when you're going through the original test chambers, and I mean, you see Wheatley pop up every now and then, but then in just one random one, the lights go off, and he just opens the panel, he just starts like talking in an accent, and you just have to fucking run. Yep. Like, that's a fantastic sequence. Or later when he deploys the surprise. Like, I don't know if you listen to the developer commentary, but, like, the way they set that up, so that way you're focused on the bouncing box, and then all of a sudden, oh, nope. This is the part where he kills you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, I got through that right away, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obvious, but...
But, yeah, I mean, the different sets of the game, I thought, just hit exactly what I wanted out of Portal 2.
Yeah.
In
terms of difficulty, though, like, there wasn't as much, like, jumping out of portals and, like, shooting a portal while you're flying through the air kind of stuff until you play the co-op.
Yeah, that's because that stuff, like, kind of sucks.
It was fun, though. Like, I like that. Well, okay, so maybe it sucks I played through all the single player on the PS3, and I didn't have any issue with it. Mm-hmm. But when you play it on the PC, like, I'm playing through the commentary, I still haven't gotten through all the commentary. It just... On the PC, feels really, really simple.
Yeah.
Like, if you know how to solve the puzzle, there's no, like, dexterity challenge. It's all in the way the puzzle's set up. Not as much as like, Portal 1 had.
Yeah. But. Oh, yeah, I mean, there's people, like, doing speed runs after, like, the third day it was out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm speed running through the single-player campaign. It's like, oh, all right.
Well, I mean, something to also is that, you know, Portal 2, like, it... is built upon the fact that it's puzzles and it's not, you don't have to rely so much on, you know, dexterity. Whereas, I mean, the original Portal, it was a shorter game. You could play through it multiple times. Mm. I would, you're more inclined to play through it multiple times. I don't know. I don't find,
I'm not missing those kinds of sequences where it's just sort of like, shoot a portal, shoot a portal, shoot a portal, bam!
Yeah, and there, I mean, there's enough in the co-op to satisfy me, and I'm sure the DLC packs will have some good challenges, yeah. too.
I think with this one, it was more about a lot more fan service.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual puzzles. And some of the puzzles were a little difficult, especially the ones at the end.
Yeah. There was one or two that just got me in weird ways. Like the first one where you had to use the portal surface stuff.
I think it was the conversion gel, because they don't tell you what it does.
Yeah, it's the one where you have to get up. Hmm. And
you have to. I know exactly what you're talking about. Where there's the bird, and GLaDOS freaks out for a second, and then you sort of have to like launch yourself. Is that the one you're talking about?
I don't know, because it's you come into the place and you're in this boxed in area, and you have a thing that's shooting out, and you have to get to the outside, and then you have to get up top. And I was trying to launch myself off from like a diagonal surface. Like I was trying to fall fast enough to get myself to launch up onto the top. And I almost had it, and then found out that it was completely not the way I was supposed to do it.
I did that a couple times too.
Yeah, that's like the one puzzle that had me stuck. Well, one of them.
I actually had to look that one up. Like I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't understand what the game wanted me to do. And it was definitely a nice introduction into how to use conversion gel, because it sort of like introduced me to, oh, okay, I can put a portal anywhere as long as I put that gel there.
Yeah, that and the other one, the Wheatley one with the three turrets behind the glass, that one.
That one's a bitch.
That one sucked, yeah. It took even me a while to figure that one out.
Even when I beat that one, like the very last thing you have to do, I didn't feel like I was doing it right. Yeah. Like
I still don't know how, like I tried to go back through it to get some achievements. Uh-huh. I can't remember how I beat that puzzle. I cannot remember the final solution after you clear the turrets. I can't.
Yeah, because like I just kind of hovered myself up in the air. And, like, that was the one place where I had to, like, shoot over and then shoot below where I was going to fall. And it just didn't feel right. Like, I didn't feel like I was doing it right. But I got out. So.
Yeah, I mean, the puzzles were just the right amount of difficulty, I think. Because there were ones where I wouldn't be stuck, like, as long as, like, those turret ones. But I would be stuck just enough. Where I'd start to like, come on, where's the solution? For example, the one with the cube, it's one of the 70s aperture chambers, where you have the bouncy gel, repulsion or whatever the fuck, blue. You have blue gel. And there's also a pipe of water, and then there's a cube. And you have to, like, bounce the cube just right. And the final solution is you have to, like, put the cube on a button and then drop some blue gel on it to lift you up. But I couldn't figure it out. There were so many sequences like that where I was almost going to give up.
Yeah.
And then it clicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think especially once it started including the gel, it just added that extra layer of, well, where the hell do I put this?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some where I just freaking layered the entire room in gel.
Just to see what would happen.
And then I'm like, all right, let's figure out how to do this. And it was like, now that's done.
And it was satisfying to spray the whole room.
It was.
And those the new mechanics, like the gel or the excursion funnels, I mean, I didn't think they would add that much. They really do. Like, they change up some puzzles.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that I thought I knew all the gels that were going to be there, but I didn't know that last one.
I don't think anybody expected it.
Yeah, I didn't know about that at all, because, like, I had been, you know, you watch those Aperture Science videos, and they showed all that stuff, and then I'm like, what is this white gel stuff?
And that's the beauty of it. They don't tell you what the fuck it's for until, like, later after a few puzzles. Then it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But really good. Obviously, the big feature to this game was the characters. I think
Wheatley rocked.
Wheatley, who was absolutely, like, amazing.
That game had me laughing my ass off after the first 5 minutes when he's trying to get you to say apple.
Yeah.
Funniest sequence in that entire game.
Oh, yeah.
And it was within the first 5 minutes.
Got a little bit of brain damage, but that's okay.
Like, Stephen Merchant did a perfect,
job.
And
I mean, in terms of the plot, I kind of saw it coming, but it was just so well done.
Yeah, like, you still enjoyed it, though. Like, you knew what was going to happen. You kind of figured out what was going to culminate to.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. I'm like, it is still great.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't see it coming. I mean, when you hit that part where, you know, the stalemate resolution button, and which is another awesome one. There are so many times where if you just stand there and you just listen to them talk.
Yeah.
I had to because I couldn't figure out how to do that stupid puzzle. Like, to get into that stalemate resolution button. It took me a little while to figure out that those things, like, came up slowly around the thing so I could portal across. Like, that took me longer than I'd like to admit.
At first, when I did it, like, I thought I was being really clever. I'm like the things, and I thought, oh, well, you just probably got to, like, run around them a little faster and you'll get through it. And I'm like, well, fuck this. I'll shoot a portal here, and I'll shoot a portal here, and I'll go around behind them.
Yeah.
And then I get down, I'm like, yeah, that's probably how it was supposed to go.
There's somebody like in that room, and like later on in the game, at the part where he kills you, where I don't know if you guys did it for the achievement, but if you go back and you just stand on a platform, he's like, come back, come back. And then when you go back and you just sort of stand there, oh, wow, didn't expect you to come back. Well, and then he just goes on for like 5 minutes, like, oh, could you, I can't reset the trap, but could you jump in that pit there? Just jump in. And he like promises all these things. Your parents are down there. I can't believe I didn't tell you. Oh, there's an escape elevator. And if you jump in the pit, you get an achievement. But
yeah.
And when you do, he goes, oh, well, didn't think that would work.
Yeah, no, the my favorite part, though, are the defective turrets. Those guys were awesome.
Oh, his the Franken turrets.
Yeah.
Your them box and the with legs. This should be easy for you.
No, the defective ones that you had to, like, clone.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was like, bang, bang, bang.
Voiced by the man in every fucking game ever.
Nolan North.
Yep.
I saw that at the end of the game. I'm like, what?
Like, it was kind of like a proud moment. Like, I got through a game without Nolan North. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I wasn't even expecting it. And then I'm like, you know, I'm watching the credits. I'm jamming out to the song. And I'm like, wait, did that say Nolan North? And I didn't catch it. And then I had to go into, like, YouTube it to, like, make sure. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, it was.
Yeah.
I think GLaDOS is also really, really great in this game. I don't think it's... It's exactly what she doesn't play the same role as she did in Portal 1, especially in terms of like just talking and she moves more, she's got more character to
her
than
they let out a lot more emotion. I remember listening to the commentary and some of the behind the scenes stuff in Portal 1, and they're like, well, we really want to get across that she's a robot, so it was really tough for her to kind of stay monotonous, but in this one I think they just kind of let her go at it.
Right.
Which was good. I mean, GLaDOS was awesome, you know. How are you doing? Well, that's great. I'm a potato.
Cave Johnson,
my favorite character of that game, hands down.
I mean, that lemon rant is going to go down in history. It's already a meme.
Have you seen the typography version of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen the poster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just all those rants, and it's just like, you know, and he's the perfect guy. Why can't I think of his name?
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons is just that character.
Have you seen him? He's what insurance commercial is he in right now?
He's in
State Farm.
State Farm.
Yeah. And it's like, that is so like Aperture Science.
Oh, yeah.
Those commercials. I can't help but think. That's Cave Johnson at Aperture
and
Science.
And then you see all these pictures, and just, you know, he plays just this perfect character of this boss who just has no fucking clue what he's doing, but he's the fucking boss, and you're going to listen to him, goddammit.
Boys in the lab said we didn't have we couldn't afford $7 of moon rocks. Bought them anyway.
Ground them up. Made of gel.
Bad news is they're poisonous.
Oh, just, yeah, like, I could not believe, I had to put the controller down, I was laughing so hard at some of the stuff he was saying.
the whole $50 posters, I love those.
Yeah, the homeless people.
Yeah. Just like,
yeah, going from Olympians picked up in limos to homeless people to just employees.
Want another $60? Let us tear you apart and put you back together.
Don't be worried. We know what we're doing here.
It's not our first time at the rodeo.
Just absolutely hilarious. I could not believe it.
I mean, and then even some of the minor characters, too, like Rick the Adventure Spear.
That's where I'm like, oh, that kind of sounds like, you know, Drake.
Because it's Nolan North!
And then I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, that totally makes sense. But I don't know, I did not pick him up on the space sphere.
Mm.
You know, space!
Wait, at the end?
Yeah.
That was him?
He was all the
he's
spheres.
He's all the cubes.
Oh, okay.
He's all the spheres. Yeah.
That's cubes. Hilarious. No, I couldn't tell with that.
Yeah, like, once that one picked up, I was like, hey, pretty lady, you know, I'm going to come over here and I'll take care of that. You ain't got to worry about that. I'm like, that kind of sounds like Nolan North, but I don't know.
What's Drake doing in Portal?
With the dialogue where, if, like, you wait a while, too, it's a whole long speech. And they set up the final boss battle differently in that, like, every section has its own timer. Mm-hmm. But with Rick the Adventure Spear, you have 5 minutes. You can just listen to him talk the whole time. And he'll just keep going and going and going. And he'll, like, say, oh, yeah, big scary robot guy. All right. And then he's like, cool line. Cool, like, death line. Cool thing to say at the end. Cool, like, you know, if he says this, say this. What happens if you actually, like, hold him that whole time and then you hear him say, if he says, you know, like, I forget the fucking thing. You can see it on YouTube. But, like, it changes, like, the actual end dialogue, because then Rick the Adventure Spear will, like, chime in before Wheatley is, you know, sent into space. like if you just listen to some of the background dialogue, it changes actual events in the game. I mean, just slightly, but still.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Speaking of, I guess, the next thing we can talk about is obviously the Easter eggs in the game. Which is just, I mean, there's a ton of them.
Yeah, I didn't hunt them out as much as I should have. I need to play through again and see them. But I, you know, I've heard and seen videos of most of them already. Yeah.
There's definitely not as many Ratman caves.
Yeah.
There's a couple in the beginning, and that's really mostly because in the beginning it's more of like, right as Aperture Science was destroyed,
well,
and so
that's
going through the old ones.
There's a couple of obvious ones. I mean, even like where you get the first portal gun with Wheatley and how like there's cake on the wall. Eric Walpaw hated that the artist slipped in cake on the wall, by the way. Like, he talked to NYU, it's like, I, against my wishes, they put it in. I fucking hate them. but like there's a couple that are, you wouldn't notice. And actually, like, take a little bit of creativity to get to.
Yeah.
Where it's interesting. And, you know, there's one that's clearly obvious and actually has, like, its own song that was created for Portal. Like,
was it the Exile Vilify?
Yeah, yep. Exile Vilify by The National. And, like,
love that song.
I don't know. There's all those ones. There's the turret. You can sort of see the turret aria kind of near the beginning of the game.
Yeah, like the practice session.
That song needs to be longer.
Game, was it?
That
was in Wheatley's stuff, I think, because
it was in GLaDOS's. It was in GLaDOS's first test chambers.
Yeah,
it was like when you first got the lasers.
Mm-hmm.
The reflection cubes. Yeah.
Yeah, the reflection cubes. But no, that song at the end with the turrets.
Oh, the turret aria.
It needs to be like 2 minutes longer. I love it so much.
Oh,
but it's too short.
Really good. With the giant frickin'
the
alien turret.
Animal King,
I just laughed at that.
I loved those videos, too, in the beginning where it's, you know, the apocalypse setting where it's leading you through the test chambers. And it's like, if in case of an Animal King takeover, you know, and it's just the Animal King descends on the UN.
I love at the end it's just got, like, the Inception low noise. Just, bah.
Yeah. also, I mean, no, we don't want to talk to the end yet. We probably want to talk more single player stuff. Like the 70s areas with Cave Johnson is leading you through them. I thought
that's the thing. Like you get hints to Half-Life and all that stuff too. Because so I played through Portal 1 the weekend before Portal 2 came out just because I had to do it. And I saw something that I hadn't seen before on like the PowerPoints you can look in the rooms near the end. I'd seen them before, but I read them a little more, and I noticed that one of the lines on there was like, Black Mesas can break ice or something like that, and like it was kind of like the pros and cons of their both their AI systems.
Yeah.
And then you know, you go down to the very bottom of the 70s, and you got the giant icebreaker ships down there. And stuff like that. And I wanted more teases for Half-Life Episode 3.
Well, they did. There's one where there's a hidden door that you can you can sort of see, like you can get into, and then there's the Borealis, but it's missing.
Yeah.
But you have the life raft for that. And I mean, he talks about, you know, how Black Mesa, those thieving dicks, he doesn't say dick, but at Black Mesa. And I'm trying to think of what other Half-Life references there were in there, or just Easter eggs in general.
Mm-hmm.
There's not exactly Half-Life, but you know the Bring Your Daughter to Work Day area, where there's all the potatoes and then the volcano. You know?
Yeah, one of them was like shells, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a giant potato.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was just holy. I didn't even put it together that like the potato sack bundle from freaking Valve would like play into that, and I'm like, oh, it's a potato. That's hilarious.
Yeah, they kind of I don't know why they did that before, because it didn't make any sense to anyone until they played Portal 2.
Right.
It's like, what is with potatoes?
Yeah. But yeah, I'd have to say that those 70s chambers were probably my favorite, though. Going back in time and just reliving all this stuff. Yeah. I soaked it all in, and plus, you know, Cave Johnson. More Cave Johnson, that's all I want.
Yeah, especially if you play with the... I'm sorry, you were cutting in and out.
Oh, I was saying I want a giant Cave Johnson robot.
Oh, okay. Especially if you play with the developer comic. Through that area where you start in like the 1940s aperture, and then you go to the 1970s aperture, and then you go to like the 90s aperture, or whatever, where they're using employees.
Is he in the developer commentary?
No, he's not. But listening to the developers talk about it would be great if he was. The different areas and how the grandeur of aperture in the 1940s and how it like just not even evolves, just sort of stays stagnant and kind of decays a little bit. And,
yeah. I'm trying to think of where I remember hearing about the voice for GLaDOS talking about Portal 1. I can't remember if that was in the game or if that was something else. It might have been else.
She was in Portal 1. She had a couple of commentary tracks in Portal 1.
Maybe that was her then. Okay. But yeah, that would have been awesome. Like, just to hear how he frickin' did all that stuff for Cave Johnson.
Yeah, I did the first chapter's commentary, and my word, do they get technical.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like, well, especially that first, because, like, you can tell they are seriously proud of that opening sequence.
Yeah, and, like, they're talking about all this stuff that, like, wow, really, you're going that deep into it? Like, I was expecting something a little lighter.
I was surprised. I was really surprised by that.
I'm like, that's intriguing. That's very intriguing. You do the collision off in another place and then put it back over here. I'm like, all right, but no one's going to understand that.
Well, I mean, it's it's developer commentary. I mean,
yeah.
Well, that's also the most technical one in the whole thing, because like later on, it is more me friendly, I guess you could say, especially where there's one that's memorable where it's a whole series of jump aerial faith plates, and when you hit the commentary node, it shows like all of these lines bouncing across, and it shows the difference between the player's line and then an object's line, and like the physics going involved in that, and like these lines just show up just for the commentary node, but you can move throughout the level with these lines going on and like follow the path and just see. They made it more, you know, something I could understand and appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely have to play it through again. But I figured I'd wait a little while to when I want to replay Portal 2 again and be like, okay, now I'll play it through commentary. And it's not on the PS3 version. I don't know. It's not on console version. The commentary isn't.
No, it is.
It is?
I think so, yeah.
I played on 360.
I don't see it in my menu. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Oh, well, no, the Super 8 thing isn't on the consoles.
Yeah, no, Super 8 thing's dumb.
So the ending was...
The ending.
Huge.
Yeah, didn't quite expect that, but it makes sense that the portal would attach to the moon there.
I just loved his four-part plan, Wheatley's whole thing, like he listing it off, and then five, booby-trap the stalemate button. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the pacing that they had for that was just spot on, and then, you know, the whole point of destroying Wheatley and putting GLaDOS back in, and you had no idea what she was going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly thought that there's probably going to be another freaking boss battle after that. You know?
Yeah, I thought they were going to kill you.
They do sort of pull that where, you know, you go up in the elevator and it stops four turrets.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And then they start singing.
Yeah, and then you get the turret aria, and then you finally get out with the companion cube, which was awesome.
You know, take your shit and go.
Yeah, this charred companion cube just kind of gets kicked out of the door.
The one thing that, like, I still don't know how I actually beat it, because the very last form of Wheatley, I could not figure out the first time.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what I mean, because the gel, it, like, changes.
Yeah, and then like, I died. So I died the first time, and then I came back and beat it within 2 seconds. Like, I shot the portal in exactly the right spot, and I just, like, I'm like, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, I was about it, too. But, I mean, it's kind of like the ending of Portal 1, where you're out.
Yeah.
But as we saw with them changing the ending of Portal 1...
Do we think that they're
going to do that again and make a Portal 3?
I don't know. I mean, there's no even idea of when Portal 2 is. Like, when is it?
I think they mentioned it was, like, just a couple of years after.
Because after finding out Chell was, like, the potato thing, I went serious into the Portal Wiki. They've never said what date or time it was specifically. And they've also said that they want that, you know, what Eric Walpole wants is Chell to kind of, like, she's been through a lot. Maybe she deserves a happy life. Maybe she deserves not to be pulled back into things
right. With
a Mr. Freeman. I mean, and even still, like, it was easy to change the end of Portal 1, because Portal 1, you just sort of passed out, outside.
Yeah.
Whereas this time, you know, it's GLaDOS says goodbye. You have the whole song when you translate it. It's like, you know, leave science forever, goodbye. And then, you know, you have the Want You Gone song.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a little bit harder to change the meanings in there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I suppose at the end of Portal 1 with Still Alive, I mean, that was kind of the whole point. Like, you knew that Portal 2 was coming at the end of that.
Right.
Even without them changing the ending. So, but does Valve want to make more money off of the Portal franchise?
I think whatever they do has to be, like, using Portal 2 as a platform
right. To
release content. Because, I mean,
DLC.
That's the reason I like it.
Well, not only DLC, but they released, like, the Portal SDK.
Yeah.
Like, all the content from Portal 2.
I need to see if that's been being used well.
I would hope so. I mean,
The Portal 1 map community is fantastic.
Yeah. I never got into that much.
You really should. I recommend it to everybody. Like, there are complete whole games
where
there's a portal. Like, just, like, original portal maps with original audio files.
Yeah, the only thing I did was the that portal, that big, like, portal sequel thing they did.
Portal Prelude or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. And that was really hard. Like, I think I got a beta version,
puzzles,
but it wasn't.
Those puzzles were kind of insane, yeah.
Yeah.
But, clearly not playtested.
Yeah,
I'll
so
definitely
I'm,
check out if there's, like, some good stuff, because, I mean, everybody knows how freaking mod-friendly we are on this podcast. I mean, I'll if there's, like, awesome Portal 2 content being made, I'll freaking play it.
Yeah.
I love Fallout 3 because I go into the menu and I type /achievement43 and it gives me achievement 43.
God, that was like the dumbest fucking thing he ever said. That was just like, anyway, whatever.
9 out of 10.
So, Watch It On.
So the ending song, yeah.
Is our new ending song made by Jonathan Colton again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was as good as Still Alive. I kind of like it better than Still Alive.
I've been listening to it so much, I right now do like it better than Still Alive, but mm-hmm. Still Alive still edges out because it was the first. Like, it was a surprise.
Right, yeah.
Once You Gone is more of a song, and Still Alive is more of an anthem.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good way. But they haven't released it. Like,
No, they
Jonathan Colton has no ownership over Want You Gone, so he hasn't released it personally, and Valve so far has only released like a soundtrack to the game, including just like
the part one right now.
Yeah,
I'll give you a link.
I'll give you a link too.
Legally,
this is the best version
you can't
ever.
Get. I did just see that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I have on loop in the background at work.
There is an unofficial sound where they just rip the audio files from the game
out
as a zip file.
Right.
I mean,
legally,
well,
Valve
has
not released.
Well, this is the thing.
They're going to, obviously.
And they're going to, but they released the first half of the soundtrack for free.
True.
Right.
So what are they going to do with the second half? They might release that for free, too.
You can purchase the Orange Box soundtrack on iTunes. And, I mean, they did give, when you bought a copy of Audio Surf, you got a copy of the Orange Box soundtrack no matter what. I mean, it's stuff like that where they're going to do something with it. And it'll be disseminated to the public. And, yeah, you're going to have an MP3 of it by the end of the week. I mean, you're gonna have a copy of it somewhere. Jonathan actually has started doing the live versions of Want You Gone, and I've yet to see that, but I can only imagine how great it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's pretty good. But yeah, I honestly, this like whets my appetite to frickin' like Half-Life 3 or Half-Life Episode 3.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
will never come.
I know. I mean, that's the new Duke Nukem. I mean, they are...
Duke Nukem's coming out next week, people, or the next week after next, yeah.
Yeah, and they are more tight-lipped on that than frickin' Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Like, at least with Duke Nukem, they're like, oh, yeah, we're still working on it. They might not have been, but we're not even getting that out of Valve.
Because Valve is like Nintendo. When they want to announce something, when they announce it, they're going to have something for you, and it's not just going to be a trailer, it's not just going to be a mention that we're still doing it, it's going to be, here's the trailer, here's the gameplay video, and guess what? You're going to be able to play it on the show floor today!
Like, yeah, if they did that at E3 this year, I'd shit myself.
They'd fucking win the show.
Yeah, they already won the show last year with Gabe Newell's whole Sony thing, so...
I mean, I hope it happens. Honestly, I do.
Yeah.
But, because, I mean, Portal 2 looks amazing.
It does.
Like,
on the PC, even more.
Yeah.
They've been
updating the Source SDK, and it just keeps looking better and better.
Yeah, I really wonder if, like, Half-Life Episode 3 is going to be, like, a new version of Source when it finally launches.
Right.
I still think Half-Life 2 is a great-looking game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they hold up
definitely.
Really well.
Yeah.
Like, I actually played it a little bit ago, and I'm like, wow, this is actually still
decent-looking. I love how I can download Half-Life 2, like, on almost any computer at any time, and then the Steam Cloud, like, knows exactly where I was.
Yeah, I love the Steam Cloud.
I wish the Steam Cloud would work with PS3 like I hoped it would.
Does it not? I never...
No.
It doesn't.
It doesn't move your save games. It, like, are you sure? Your achievements, though.
No, it's been confirmed. It was somebody actually emailed Valve support and said, no, we never said that. We never confirmed that.
Yeah.
I thought they did confirm a cloud. Well, I mean, I only played it on the PC, though.
Everybody assumed, because
I mean, I tried it right away. I played it on my PS3. I'm like, cool, and I saved it, and it said its little syncing thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, I'm going to go on my PC and play it now, and it wasn't there. I thought it might have been, like, some, network lag issue because everybody's fucking doing it, but no, they came out and said it.
Yeah, I don't see why that can't be added in a patch, though, or something, because, like, I mean, I played through the co-op with my cousin on his PS3, so, I mean, if they can do network gameplay between two consoles, a console and a PC...
I'll try and find the link for you. When I saw the email, it was on Reddit. I'll try and find that for you, because they did explain it a little bit. Yeah.
That is what I want the most, is after last year's whole Steam-Sony upset, I want more Steam on consoles, like, of any kind. They just need
to do
that.
I'm sure that it's going to keep continuing, especially with any Valve game that comes out.
Yeah.
I think it's probably only a matter of time before, like, all these indie games that come out on Steam and PSN start kind of linking up.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Nintendo Project Cafe. You can play all your Steam games on Nintendo's Project Cafe.
Oh, if Gabe Newell comes out in Nintendo's stage this year.
Have you guys seen the GIF going around?
F you to Microsoft.
Have you seen the GIF going around where it's about Nintendo's E3 press conference?
No.
Okay, well, we'll keep talking about Portal 2 and I'll find it for you.
Okay.
So co-op. I didn't get a chance to play the co-op.
You haven't played the co-op yet?
I haven't.
It's fun.
Because I could have just been like Dan and found a random person, but I didn't think that would be enjoyable.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, there were one or two guys that I really had a lot of fun with, and I ended up friend requesting on Xbox. And then most of the time, though, it would be, like, I would say, hey, you there? And all of a sudden I get, yeah, hey, how's it going? I really like Portal. Disconnect.
Tell him you made the game, Dan. You're good at that.
Hey, how's it going?
You made the game.
All right, listen, don't shoot a fucking portal in this one, okay? I want the achievement.
Oh, God, we made the game. That's right.
Yeah,
Bioshock. I forgot about that. We made Bioshock.
Oh, yeah, we made it. Hey, you guys want to do, like, you don't like the trains, but, like, if you could, like, do you use the gun on the train?
Oh, God, that was... I cannot believe... We still... I don't know if that guy believed us or not.
He did, and then we told him...
No, that was a different guy.
Oh, okay.
We told the other guy we convinced when we got into the next game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, that was...
That was fun.
Memories. Anyway.
But yeah, so the thing about the co-op is, once you play it through once, and you play it through with someone else, it's like you're just waiting for them to figure it out. Like, you're either waiting for them to figure it out, or you're telling them how to figure out, so it's boring for one person.
See, that's where I'm kind of stuck right now, is because, I'm sure most people have already played through the co-op, so if I played through it, it would be just kind of one-sided.
Yeah. That's the thing that really sucks about it, but there's no other way to do it, because as an experience with two people who've never played it before... It was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great, great campaign.
Yeah, like my cousin had played through like the first five test chambers with his brother. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of like, at the beginning, he was in that sense where he's like, oh no, you figure it out. I'm not going to figure it out. And I'd go and figure out the puzzle and kind of command him what to do. But then once we got to the parts where neither of us knew what to do, it was really fun.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think the final, like, there were harder puzzles in the co-op campaign than I thought there were in the single player.
Yeah.
Especially more of the end game stuff. Like, we're taking a break to watch this GIF.
The fifth Nintendo element.
I love the game list. Again.
Ruby Ride.
So, I feel bad because I, you know what, fuck it, I'm spoiling it for Eric. I don't care.
No, I expected it to. I mean,
well, what's spoilery in
the co-op? I mean, is there like Easter eggs in it?
Well, not really. Oh, the co-op campaign is very much, it's taken a lot less seriously than the single player campaign. You can tell that from right from the get-go. I mean, just, yeah, there's an ending, but, well, I'm not gonna, you know what, fuck it, spoil it. So, eventually, like, GLaDOS keeps sending you, like, you keep doing standard test chambers, mm-hmm. And GLaDOS every once in a while will send you outside the testing courses to find something, to find, like, a disc and put it in a DVD player so she can, like, see them. And she'll, like, tell you as you're, like, once you finally solve the puzzle and you put the disc in, she's just like, these images come up and, like, all this code, and she's just like, that's it. Don't try and look at this. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well,
yeah, it's like her getting information.
Yeah, and then it all leads up to you trying to get to where Aperture has stored all of these humans in, like, cryosleep. Like, yeah, and hid
more
them
test
from
subjects.
GLaDOS. Yeah, more test subject, but didn't let GLaDOS know anything about them. And so you play as the robots to get to those humans. And, like, there's one where there's a turret set up, and the turret is super easy to knock off. And you just hit it with some of the blue gel. And when the turret bounces, it's just like, but I have to protect the humans! As it goes off.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, well, you can only notice that, really, if you have, like, the subtitles on.
Yeah, the subtitles are annoying. I turned them on when the turrets were going, and they just kept coming up. I'm like, no, I can't handle the subtitles.
Well, if you do closed captioning instead of subtitles, if you hit it twice, you'll go to closed captioning. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then when you finally beat the puzzle, which is a super hard last one, like it took me a minute to really figure out because I didn't. There's a part where you have to put a box down, and it slides.
Yeah, the sliding one. That one took us a little bit.
And it's hard to figure out at first because you think, well, am I supposed to like walk along with it? Am I supposed to like slow it down near the end? And then it's just sort of you sort of figure it out. Like you just have to work together and run for your fucking life.
Yeah.
I mean, and
that's
then when you
one,
finally
though.
Do, yeah, it is. Once you finally do, like, free the humans and stuff like that, that's it. Then the credits roll, and it's just character models going by, very silly, sort of.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the puzzles, though, that are hard, like, I don't know who you played with when you did the puzzle where you had to jump through the air and catch the laser, hit the laser while you're flying up in the air to zap the turrets that are guarding the... You remember that puzzle, Dan?
Where...
You had to...
Yes! Yes, yeah. I do!
Like, how cooperative was the person you were playing? Because me and my cousin were stuck on that for an hour. Like, because we were doing it the complete wrong way. Like, we almost had it the complete wrong way, too. But even after you figure out the right way to do that puzzle, it is still extremely difficult.
We didn't... It wasn't that it took us a long time. It took us maybe, like, 10 minutes to figure out. It's that... Okay!
What?
Okay. Missed it this time. I'm going to... Can you hear me?
You're breaking up, but...
Okay, just like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm gonna get it this time, I swear, I promise, I'm sorry I let you down last time, I'll do it this time. 20 minutes later, no, really, I got it. Well, can I just try? Oh, no! And I didn't want to restart, because then I have to go back to the fucking start of the puzzle.
But, yeah.
So just sitting there with this kid bouncing around, just sort of like, oh, I missed it just this much.
Yeah, no, that was a fun one to figure out, though. Mm-hmm.
Do you like Halo?
They sent me a friend request. And then you play Halo with him?
No, didn't play with him. I filed a player report. And I said, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well, you know what happens when life gives you lemons.
Dude, okay, Matt. Hey, Matt, what's up? You know, I can just grab the audio and put it in.
When life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. Make life take the lemons back. Get mad. I don't want your damn lemons. What am I supposed to do with these? Demand to see life's manager. Make life rue the day it thought it could give Cave Johnson lemons. Do you know who I am? I'm the man who's going to burn your house down.
With lemons.
I'm going to get my engineers to invent a combustible lemon that burns your house down.
Seriously, I love that guy. But, yeah, I mean, like we said at the beginning, Portal 2, awesome game.
There's one problem I have with it.
Really?
What?
I have a problem with Portal 2.
What's that?
I actually have a couple.
If you say DLC, I'm going to reach through the internet and punch you in the face.
Yeah. Oh, the fucking gestures. What the fuck, Valve? Hats?
Yeah. No.
I have to buy hats. Zero.
That is the stupidest thing
zero
ever.
On Metacritic. Fuck this game.
Horse armor, what the fuck?
Worst DLC.
Wow. Yeah, that was
this
bad.
This horse armor doesn't work for shit.
So the save system, I'm not happy about.
I'm not either.
That's something that a lot of people don't think about, but when you're doing stuff over and over again, just it's not clearly defined as much as it was in Portal 1, whereas in Portal 1, it sort of aped the Half-Life 2 save setup, where it would show you a picture of like the main chamber, and it would show you the chamber name, specifically what you were doing, and a snapshot of what you were last looking at. Okay. Whereas with this, it's not as easy to navigate, and especially when you're doing the dev commentary, you can't save.
Yeah, that's what I hate about it. It's like you have to commit yourself to a chapter, or you're
fucked. Because you want to hear it all, and then, you know, sometimes a chapter can go for 40 minutes to an hour, and it's...
Yeah, I thought that was really weird, because, like, all of I thought that was something you could turn on and off at will in the other one. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
Not in Portal 1.
No?
I don't think so.
No, there was an entirely new mode for it, but you could save. You could save and you could...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I didn't notice that because I only had one save file throughout the single player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like if you go back and try and, like, especially because, you know, I went back and did the achievements.
Mm-hmm.
So, just finding specific areas and, like, doing the dev commentary. Like, the Smash TV achievement, which is you have to break all 11 of, like, Wheatley's monitors when going through his chambers, which also opens up so much more dialogue, because, like, every single time you break one, and...
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's mature.
Yeah. Oh, that's really mature. No, I have tons. Like, the next one, you know, it's all right. I have tons of monitors just lying around. And then when you break the next one, gotta be honest, being a little sarcastic in the last one, a little facetious, I mean... Really don't have all these lying around, so if you could just stop breaking them, and then it just keeps going and going, it progresses into, there are children in Africa who don't have any monitors.
My favorite achievement, though, is like picking up that one turret on the conveyor belt.
The prophet turret, the oracle
turret. Yeah, the prophet,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
That was good. I like that. So, one complaint. Definitely not a game breaker.
Well, I don't know. I didn't like the. I mean, we're not saying that Portal. I'm not saying that Portal's not a great game. I'm not saying that it's not going to be one of the top games of the year. I wish they took the co-op more seriously.
More seriously?
More seriously. I wish. Because.
I think the co-op did exactly what I wanted the single player to do. It was more challenging. Like, I accept the single player as a narrative experience, and it hit that, and the difficulty was perfect for that, for guiding you through it. But the co-op was where the puzzles where you really had to think were.
I'm not saying... The puzzles were difficult. I'm not saying they weren't. The puzzles, they were harder than the main game and all that stuff. It's just the story and... I mean, it's really hard to put words to it because, I mean, GLaDOS has funnier lines. It's much more comical than the main story. Yeah. It's just, that ending of, you saved science. You found the humans. And then, oh, well, now what? Like, is that it? Then the fucking credits roll. And it's like a, like, upbeat, peppy song as, like, they just drop character models on a conveyor belt.
Yeah, that the ending was really dumb for the co-op. I like the credit sequence. But the, I mean, I appreciated the silliness of it, though. Like, I don't know if you noticed when you were playing with random people, but there was that one part where she's like, I'm just talking to you. The other person can't hear me. You're doing a great job, or something like that. And she's actually saying something different to each player.
Really?
In a lot of those sequences. Yeah, like, I'll like afterwards, I'd ask my cousin, like, what did she just say to you? And he'd say something completely different.
Wow. I'm
like, that's hilarious.
I don't want to fault it for it, because it's clearly meant to be taken lighter and like more like, oh, you're playing with your friends.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting a story.
With the like when you're teaching trust and one player has to maneuver the buttons while the other player goes through the death course.
Yeah,
that
was fun.
My first thing killed my partner. It's like, Blue has taught Orange the first lesson in trust. Blue receives 17 points. It's like, okay.
Yeah, those missions were always fun.
Yeah, I will have to do the co-op.
You will. Mm-hmm. What are you playing? Are you playing on PS3?
I have it on PS3, and I have it on PC.
Yeah, Dan was trying to give me shit about having it on PS3 while PSN was down.
Oh, I was just mad because you didn't want to play Portal with me. And yeah. I needed a fucking co-op partner before I gave it back to Blockbuster.
I should have asked you then, but oh, I was blocked.
Oh, you aren't blocked on Skype.
Well, you can't.
Mr. Bitch Pants McCrabby.
You can't play cross-platform PC and 360, though.
I don't give a shit, though. So it's the principle of things. Why do you always PC. Take Eric's side?
Because I'm right all the time. So, we kind of touched on the Metacritic issue.
Is this an issue?
No, it's the epidemic of our day.
Yeah,
the poor minority.
People, like, right out of the gate were given Portal 2 zeros on Metacritic. Just worst game ever, and, you know, a lot of people were just saying that, and then it kind of got into why. It was about they had to pay for DLC, had to. And what was...
I need that fucking hat!
Yeah, it was the DLC, and it was... Was it the length of the game? Was that the other thing?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, length. Which was completely ridiculous.
Complete bullshit.
The game was, like, twice as long as Portal 1.
More than that.
You know, which
Portal 1
I think is
beaten 2 hours.
I think 8 hours is definitely deserving of a full title price.
Yeah.
I think the reason they're complaining about it is because it doesn't drag at any point.
Yeah.
Maybe during the Wheatley Chambers just because they're harder, but like it does a good job of varying and like keeping a nice pace. And if it went any longer, it wouldn't be as good.
Right. Yeah, no, that kind of production value comes at the cost of like an 8-hour game, which I have come to accept.
Right? You know? Me too. Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm old and cranky and
I think that each types of those games have their own merits. Like, this is a highly produced,
it's a guided experience. Driven,
guided experience. You know, so I kind of get that, you know, after 8 hours, it's done. Whereas you have, like, a hugely open-worlded sandbox game that's 80 hours.
I have a Red Dead story, which I feel like I should share with you.
Okay.
In the town of Chuparosa in Mexico.
Chuparosa.
I bought property there. And then what I proceeded to do was I proceeded to find a woman in an alleyway where, like, away from everyone. And I would I started off with a woman. It started off with a woman because it was like one of the prostitutes.
Oh,
and I would hog-tied, brought back to the room, killed. And then would find somebody else just walking around that, like, just went at, like, just the right moment where they couldn't be seen by anybody. Hogtied, brought back to the room, killed. Did that till pretty much the whole town was dead in my room. And I told... I told that to Alex, and he was mortified. He was disgusted. He's like, what's wrong with you? John Marston wouldn't do that.
Like, to do that...
Wow.
for the whole town, like, takes some sort of sick dedication.
Well, no, it became its own game. It's like...
Exactly. It takes some sort of sick and twisted dedication.
That sounded really bad. I meant that it became its own sort of, like, Splinter Cell sort of, like, stealth thing, where it's like, okay, I gotta be stealthy. You know, I gotta...
Right.
Yeah. My,
just the right time.
The most fun I had sadistically was dragging a guy across Mexico behind my horse and watching him twitch.
The most satisfying thing I think I had was waiting for a fucking train to hit one of the women that put on the train tracks just for that fucking achievement.
Yeah.
Like, I probably sat in front of my TV doing nothing for a half an hour waiting for the train to come. And I got lucky with it. It was like a lady that was trying to rob me. So, like, I didn't have to... It didn't, like, decrease my moral standing at all. I'm like, well, guess what, bitch? It's your unlucky day.
Yeah.
And I threw her on the train tracks, but I'm, like, sitting there. I'm like, where is this thing? Like, I think it just went by where I was as I got to it.
Yeah, it takes them forever, too.
Well, the woman I did was there's that girl that you see sort of on the train in the opening, and you find her in a quest later, but it's like a really short quest where you just bring her medicine, and she's gone crazy in the middle of the desert, and she's like waiting for the Lord to save her, and I just got annoyed, and I was like, I'm fucking trying to help you, okay, bitch, you know what, fuck it, hogtied, and meanwhile she's just like, the Lord will save me, are you bringing me to the Lord? And I'm just like, yeah, I'm bringing you to the fucking Lord, the Lord. And I put it down on the train tracks, and I just waited there in the night.
Wow. Yeah, that is the last mission she's in, isn't it?
What?
Wasn't that, like, one of the Stranger missions?
I don't fucking know. I killed her.
Did you, like, sit there and wait for the train to come, or did you, like, camp out?
Yeah, but I got lucky. It was only, like, you know, 5 minutes or so.
Because you have to watch the train hit the person. Like, you can't just, like, camp out and find fucking blood and guts when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
But...
Also, when the train hits, it's just not... It's like firework.
Yeah, it's a cloud of...
Yeah. So. But Portal. Anyway. Portal 2. Awesome game. Definitely recommend it to everybody. I would say... regardless of whether you've played Portal 1, even.
Yeah.
I think it does a pretty good job filling in the blanks.
But here's a suggestion. If you haven't played Portal 1, play Portal 1 right before Portal 2, and it increases the length of Portal 2 by 2 hours.
Yeah, then you have absolutely nothing to bitch about. Because guess what? 12-hour game just got 14 hours.
Yeah.
I want 30 hours like I had with Final Fantasy 13.
I see Final Fantasy 13 for $19.99 new.
Really?
Yeah.
I still have to beat Final Fantasy 13.
You seen the teaser for 13 too? Like the teaser of the teaser?
No.
It's looking pretty hot. Remember.
Is it someone where she's in like armor or whatever?
No. It's like a teaser of a trailer. So it's like a super quick shot.
Teaser of a trailer of a countdown?
It's a teaser of a trailer from E3, yeah. It's...
Did you guys see the Mega 64 Konami announcements for E3?
No.
No, I saw the video in my feed, but I didn't.
It's absolutely ridiculous. One of the guys is a janitor that is sweeping the floor, and then he comes in, and the other three guys come in as Metal Gear Solid characters. Two of them come in and just hog tie him up and try interrogating him. And then the third guy comes in just this leather latex gimp outfit trying to be Psycho Mantis. He's just like just grabbing on his face. He's like, I'm reading his mind.
Oh, I have to watch that. No, I don't know if you guys fully understand the joy I felt when they announced those HD collections.
Oh, that was awesome. I'm super excited for that.
That is, like, so happy.
Just
so happy.
Like, Peace Walker, which I think would play so much better on the PS3 anyway.
It would play, period. Actually, no, I could play Peace Walker now that my PSP isn't all blah. I just don't have time for it. And but no, now I'm going to wait for the HD remake.
Plus my Zone of Enders.
Yeah, Zone of the Enders. My friend at work comes in, he's like, into my office, he's like, Zone of the Enders was like a 5-minute game. He didn't even know Zone of the Enders 2 existed. Like, I don't know how you can know Zone of the Enders and not know Zone of the Enders 2. Like, the first one is very short, though.
Yeah.
It was an extremely short game.
That and Ico and Shadow of the Colossus also coming out.
Like, October-ish, or...
Still, I'm fucking pumped.
Yes.
Anything else been announced yet for E3?
I mean, the Prey 2 trailer and the Tomb Raider trailers are pretty hot.
Yeah, we've had a lot of trailers. Prey 2, Tomb Raider, Dark Souls,
Dark Souls, I believe, had one.
Like, it's Saturday right now, so when we're recording, so, like, things are just starting to ramp up for E3.
Yeah, Catwoman in Batman Arkham City, that was announced.
Yep, playable character.
So, I'm excited for E3.
Yeah,
it's gonna
definitely.
Be
gonna well, be
I
good.
Think we're going to need to do a podcast after E3 happens.
I think we're...
Yeah, we will do one either next week or the week after talking about E3. We'll watch the press conferences. We'll watch a bunch of trailers.
We're going to live blog it.
I won't be able to live blog it this year.
We're going
to
use Cover It Live.
I will be completely non-accessible on Monday or Tuesday again.
I live blogged it kind of last year, or at least the Microsoft.
Through Twitter?
All of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I live blogged it when somebody paid me to live blog it. That was fun.
I won't be able to do that this year because I actually work at my job, so.
Yeah, I can't look at Twitter all day.
Last year, I was able to get away. Like, I even told my boss, I'm like, dude, E3 press conference going on right now. He's like, oh, okay. It's like, you're working on yourself? I'm like, yeah, this shit's rendering right now. I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, I don't have an internet connection at my job.
I don't think I can pull that right now, because I think maybe if E3 happened last week, I could have, but this next week is going to be another hell week.
I think if, like, they happen later in the day.
Yeah, like the Sony one's at 5
yeah.
Pacific, so, I mean, that one I'll probably watch. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You fucking kidding me?
What?
Oh, you know, I guess they need to, you know, dedicate as much time throughout the evening for their 4-hour press conference.
It's not 4. I don't know where people are getting that. It's only scheduled for 2 hours.
That's the thing, Caleb. It's that, you know, they've been scheduled for like 1.5 or 2 hours before, and then it's gone on and on and on and on. Last year's was like 2.5.
Well, that's not 4 hours, though.
No. I don't know where that rumor
seems
started,
like 4 hours when it's just
hours.
Like trailer after trailer after monotone speaker. Look at all our sales numbers.
Yeah, but then you got the fucking awesome
Gabe Newell,
and like the awesome Kevin Butler speech.
Cheesy Kevin Butler speech. Yeah.
Still, I like.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to say it's awesome when your mom was sitting in the room with you too. Just like, really, this is what you're watching.
My mom like, wasn't sitting in the room with me.
Yeah, well, my mom was. And
your mom.
Got the HIV.
So I believe...
What?
Nothing. Anyway. Well, where is... Oh, here we go. Press conferences.
I believe that's it for this episode?
Yep, I think so. Does anybody else ever get a fucking press conference? It's like the same companies every year. Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, EA, Ubisoft.
I don't think anybody needs a press conference. I don't even think EA, Ubisoft, or Konami need a press conference.
But, no, not after last year's. What was it, Konami? Oh, my word.
Konami failed at Rock Revolution on stage.
Konami failed. Ubisoft just showed all their trailers again.
Yeah,
it's like, awesome. We just saw this 4 hours ago. Yeah, Joel McHale, who just... did not give a fuck at all. It's like video games, yeah.
I'm waiting
probably
to see who's
drunk right now.
Like who's gonna do the Assassin's Creed Revelations demo? Because I am most excited for that. That is my most anticipated game of this
Jade
year.
Jade Raymond, probably. Let's face it.
I mean, what press conference it's gonna be at?
All of them with Jade Raymond.
Yeah. Jade Raymond doesn't work there
just
anymore.
Like the, really? What's she doing?
I don't think she works on Assassin's Creed anymore.
What is she doing then? Where does she work? Well, let's find that out, because she was actually a really awesome developer.
She was.
She
is the managing director at Ubisoft Toronto.
Well, there you go. She'll probably be at E3 then. Someone was saying that they think Shadow Complex 2 is going to show up at E3.
Wouldn't doubt it.
I would not be surprised. I'm really looking forward to that. Oh my god, I cannot believe I didn't mention it in the show, beginning of the show. Outland?
I still need to pick that up.
Outland. Seriously, I mean, it's not I'm not saying it's the greatest game in the world. I mean, it definitely does have, like, some hang-ups, and it's not... But it's $10.
It's Ikaruga.
It's Ikaruga meets Metroidvania.
Yeah, that excites me greatly.
Fantastic. Just the art style and the music that goes on in the background, it's a great, great game to play through. Even after, like, you think you're done, you can go back to areas and, like, unlock new areas. It's... I love it. It's fantastic. Everybody needs to get Outland right now.
Hi.
Is it out on PSN yet?
No.
I don't think so, no. I'm waiting. See, that's the thing that really sucks. Okay, the day before PSN went down, I was going to buy the Assassin's Creed DLC, the Da Vinci stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, I hesitated. I didn't do it that night. And then the next day, PSN's down. I'm like, fuck.
And then you had to wait forever.
Yeah, so I picked it up, like, this last week, and now I'm, like, rushing through L.A. Noire so I can play Assassin's Creed, so I can play Infamous 2. That's my goal right now.
Right. Okay.
Because I got my menus working.
So Caleb's going to celebrate.
And our online won't get hacked.
So yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode. I suppose we got to do plugs. Do we
have plugs?
Yeah, sure.
You got to practice?
What? Do you think I've forgotten how to do plugs?
I'm just wondering. It's been a while.
I worked games at Six Flags, okay? I'm a fucking pitch man, all right? Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Broken Embargo. If you like this, tune in for more. All you got to do is subscribe in iTunes. You can just search us, Broken Embargo. It'll come right up. Or you can go to unnamedgaming.podomatic.com, which we should probably find out how to change. because that's not going to happen. Anyways. You can go there and check out some of our previous episodes. If you liked the sort of revamp thing, we're going to have more of the revamp stuff. That all the stuff up there is pretty old, sort of like the old, you know, what you've been playing, news, etc. But you can comment on this week's show, Murgatroyd. We're looking for your comment. We will definitely do something with it for the next time. You can email us, brokenembargo@gmail.com. You can follow what Caleb's doing. Caleb, when's your game coming out?
I can't say yet. It's very, very close. It's this month-ish.
So for dev updates on that, follow Caleb on Twitter, XOTIG. You can follow Eric on Twitter, ECOTVOL, and follow me on Twitter, DanUNG. Also, check out some of our friends' podcasts, like the Start Select Talk podcast that Alex Jones is on, as well as Controller Throw with Mikey and Benway. Awesome guys. I need to catch up with them, because they keep trying to catch up with me, and they always catch me at the wrong time. I think that's pretty much it for us. I mean, I can't think of anything else that I'm missing.
I don't think so. Comment from the last podcast, I guess, Murgatroyd, we definitely are alive.
At least partially.
Partially. Some of us are dying on the inside, but that's besides the point.
Or already dead.
Yeah.
Definitely there will be more episodes after this. We are not lying.
We're lying.
We are lying out of our asses, but anyway. The next podcast will be on, I don't know, I guess I don't know what anything.
Yeah, go ahead, pick a date. Out. Try and set a date. Set
no,
a date.
I'm not saying
see if we make
a date,
it.
I'm saying
oh, it's going to be an E3 episode.
E3. That's going to be E3.
Oh, right. Pure E3 episode.
Yeah, that's all it's got to be. We talked for an hour and a half about Portal 2. We can talk about
I just remember in the past we have talked about fucking E3 for 2 hours, just E3.
Yep. It'll happen again.
Maybe we could, like, break it up a little bit.
What do you mean?
Like in different, like, segment chunks and just put, like, one out a day. Like record one long thing and then, like, put out separate chunks of it. So that way it's not, like, one long, like, blah, 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 blah.
We could, I guess. Yeah. We'll see how long it is at the end.
Live brainstorming.
I mean, if it's just, like, a 2-hour podcast, like, normal, and we don't really need to.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So we shall see y'all next week, 2 weeks from now.
That's what you guys told me the last time we did a podcast, and then you left me at the orphanage.
Right. Anyway. How did you find his way back?
Do you know who I am? I wrote for Go Gaming Giant, goddammit!
Is that site still up, even?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
It's still up. Hold
I stopped on. Right before they stopped paying.
3, 2, 1, stop.
Oh, right.
We don't need to, like... submit everybody to our fucking Go Gaming Giant rants. Again.
No, it's still going.
Who's the guy that does it now?
Mike.
Because it's not Matt.
Mike.
Mike?
Mike's a nice guy. Mike knows what he's doing. He just couldn't afford to pay people anymore, and so I was like, well, fuck it. Bye.
Peace out, homie. Do they even have a fucking... Nope. Podcast isn't even up there anymore. Like, at all. Where is it? I bet it's still on here, and you're just fucking trying to hide it.
The podcast?
Oh, I'm sure. You probably just took it off the page.
By the way, have I ever showed you guys this?
Yep.
I just wanted to give you a glimpse into my life, man.
Ugh.